Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. I just had some vacation last week, and the garden is producing like crazy right now. We were just talking before the call. It's just like zucchini and cucumbers are just like exploding. So life is good around here.
Good times, good times. Yeah, I wish I lived closer and I could partake in the bounty that is your zucchini.
Yeah, no, that's good. How are things with you?
Pretty much the same. I think we've missed a few scheduled calls due to just both of us being away, different things. So, yeah, having a pretty good summer here. Yeah, we did our beach trip. We've got a couple little spot events coming up. I forgot where we're going. Some museum on Saturday, and then just tomorrow, and then we're also going to Hershey Park. It's an amusement park in Pennsylvania, but
Oh.
Hershey. So lots of roller coasters and chocolate and different stuff themed as well. So we're doing that Sunday.
Wow, that sounds like a full weekend. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's should we catch up a bit? I know you had a kind of a topic at mind, and again, for our listeners and for myself, I kind of need a recap. But if I recall, judging back the past few months, you've found a repeatable cycle to reach these new target types of customers you were going after, which were support people at like manufacturing types of places. And you found a repeatable process through LinkedIn to reach out to them, get questions, and also has helped you with early kind of research and give you ideas for, I guess it's customer interviewing. You've shown them some prototypes, some things like that, and you've reached different levels of, initial contact for outreach and then like follow-ups, and you sort of have I would say some cohorts with those and some different groups in different stages with that. But at the same time, you were I think last I left, like testing more prototypes and more just trying to get them excited to lead you to and validate like to actually, build something past just like visuals and prototypes and stuff like
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I was really working on that LinkedIn process. And that was kind of a funnel, I guess you'd call that. And I really honed that in. I was able to really get my conversion rates up on a number of sections of that funnel. But one of the problems I was kind of running into is that process is like super manual. And so I wanted to kind of train like make it easier on myself. But I also kind of want to move the ball forward, I guess, is kind of the next thing I started thinking about.
okay, like move the ball forward in which direction? Because I can see a couple different paths. One is I'm not sure where you are on the product building process yet, and ultimately, one of the goals and paths you can take from here is like finishing that out and making sure people are, happy with, a product, or at least you have a direction to start building something to kind of go further down the, hey, hand me some money, type of thing, or they're just really excited about you solving a problem and they're like, here, take my money type of thing, right? So where are you on that front?
Yeah, so I have a working prototype that it's like entirely like stateless. It just lives in the browser and you can play around with it. And I've shown that to a number of people. I also recorded a video demo to try and make it easier for people to have like a walkthrough, like a guided tour kind of thing. I found that a really effective way to get it in front of people. And then I was trying to kind of whittle down, do I go for the full customer service suite sort of product, or do I aim more at a very like a niche of like just a self-serve customer portal, plug and play into your ERP system, and it's got like a section for your customers, basically. And so I have the working prototype for that, and I did get a bunch of feedback on that. And I guess the direction forward I was looking to move towards was to try and get more sales type discussions and less like feedback type discussions. And I don't know if I'm too early to do that, or if this is the right time. Like, I feel like I have good confidence that this is the product to go for. The self-serve customer portal, I think, is a good contender to actually like make it. And I haven't actually built the product, but I want to see some people kind of coming into the marketing funnel first before building out the product.
Okay. Yeah, I could see those are different directions you could take for different reasons. So on one hand, you're saying like, should I scale my funnel? Should I make it so that on the marketing side and the intake side, it makes it easier to get a volume of people? And then on the other side is like how much you have two potential product directions to go. And I guess you're sort of hoping that if you have more volume, it'll give you more confidence on the directions of those two places, those that product decision to make. Is that sound accurate?
Yeah, that's partly right. And I think also I'd like to see some sort of wait list or something like that, where I have a number of people that I have fairly high confidence will purchase before actually building the final solution. I think the prototype has a lot of legs yet in terms of the sales side of things.
Right. But I guess, do you have enough? But let's say, like, how many people are you in contact with now that you have, like, you know, or will likely respond to you?
There's probably about 15 people that I can message today and get a reasonable response by Monday.
Okay. So, like, that's good. I mean, you have sort of a nice group. And I would say, I mean, I'm definitely more for, like, hone down what the product is you want to build. Like, you haven't sold anything yet.
No.
So I wouldn't worry about scaling your funnel until you've sold something. Because what if you turn out to be selling a bigger thing somewhat, or a sizable thing that people are willing to commit some money to, like, you may not need to scale your funnel. If you go back to our fundamentals of like the types of customers you're getting, like, you're in the bootstrap business model. So you just want to have a couple wins, and you want to have some wins that are going to be sustainable, and let that give you the confidence versus trying to go spread wide. Because remember, our thesis is like, hey, if I just had 5 or 10 customers, I'd be happy, or this would, then it would at least fill my bucket enough that I can then take other shots, then I can take other experiments. I feel like going into the marketing side and trying to scale that, where you already have a working version, it's like, do I need a marketing 2.0 yet? It's like, well, let's solve product 1.0, right? Like, you have marketing 1.0 or funnel 1.0, and now you're still figuring out what product is until you've sold those. And even of the 15, you know how to reach those 15. So if you were able to run your marketing funnel 1.0 again and refill that, I would say, even though it sounds like more annoying work of like, let me grind this out, the fact is it works, right? So if you go into another marketing thing and you're basically trying to do that, you're basically building a new funnel. It's like almost, I would almost think of it as not totally starting from scratch, but kind of like it's a different thing. And I would try to solve for V1 across the board from a marketing funnel, even if it's just like you know, digging and grinding to get, but you know it works at the end of it if you do it at enough volume, and then to where you're getting boom, one customer, like fulfill the funnel throughout. Even if it means like a, you know, what does that mean from the product side? It might still be a good impulse for you to lean on the smaller self-serve side first. And like, maybe that's the easier one. It's definitely probably less potential product to build than the whole idea of like building out a more enterprise suite. But if you start with that and you start with like, okay, can I get them to use this day to day, right? Maybe you're at that first cohort is people that are just like actively using it. Cause until they're actively using it, that's the real stickiness, right? Yeah. So like getting to that, prove that it delivers value through the chain is my kind of take on it at first thought.
Yeah. And I guess maybe I have gone down the marketing 2.0 path. And I've found a lot like what you're saying. It does feel like starting from scratch, and it doesn't have, it's not really like taking the flywheel that's already working and improving it. It's like making a whole new wheel. I I guess my why I kind of jumped to marketing 2.0 is the current flywheel is a lot of manual work. Like I'm doing a lot of hours for the amount of response I'm getting. And I don't know that there are tools I could look into to help improve that. And also the other side of it is currently I've been asking for feedback. I've been asking for tell me about your life kind of things. Whereas to try and get a sale, I guess I haven't really figured out a good approach on how to pitch that or how to even start that conversation.
Well, once you have more successful customers, I think that actually aids in your ability to do that. So then it's more of like, maybe it's a slight change to your outreach. Like the outreach you're getting already is like, hey, I'm building this thing. And by the way, I'm getting these other things. And there's these five customers that are using it. I think that's when you start to like slightly pivot your V1, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not a full V2. It's more of like, fine, I can get the outreach. I can get them to respond. Now, how do I slightly, and then you're just making small iterations to turn it into more of a sale or interest, right? So like, mm-hmm. I think you have the curiosity and problem and right person, right? You've solved that, which means there's a problem to be solved. They're interested. Now, like whether it's just getting feedback from them or whether it's like turning into a sale. But to me, those are initial small tweaks before you decide if you need a more full thing. But at the end of it, if you're not getting them all the way to the end of a fulfilled promise and value you're delivering, then like you're basically just like creating more activity over there. And I know as engineers, it's hard. Like you're like, hey, I want it scaling, right? Like I don't want to be grinding this out, but you know, maybe there's other alternatives. Maybe you can have someone else help you, but this is part of it. I mean, I would say like, don't move. These are probably the things where like this other piece, like for me, you still need to solve the back end piece, right? Like through delivery of the product. Because if you can't solve that, none of this matters, right? So you're mm-hmm. going, you're jumping to a problem you don't have yet, and versus like the most pressing problem to have is have someone go straight through the funnel, right?
Yeah, but I guess getting those first customers through, like at this point, I have people that have shown interest in like you know some like kind of following along as the product develops, sort of people. But I guess how do I need to almost make that barrier to entry super low for them to kind of get in as first customers? Like I basically have to build it along with these people as a way of delivering, like delivering on the promise basically. And, you know, maybe they'll sign up at that point or maybe they won't. And that's when you kind of start going to other people or.
I would say, I would also spend even more time in the prototyping land, making sure that they're just like, because that's cheap and easy, right? Like mm-hmm. doing these mocks and doing these things and almost like if you're at the end of it, it's just like, I will commit money for you to build this. Mm. And maybe that's your line. So maybe don't go and build it yet, but you are iterating on like, okay, is this basically, you're kind of asking, is this good enough that you'd pay, you know, $500 commitment? The taking out your wallet and like, and you'll get a year of access. Like you'll get a year of this, right? Just set the precedent. And it's just like, if someone sees this and imagine in the customer seat, if this is like, oh my God, this is going to save me so much time and so much whatever. Yeah. Let me go. I'll pay out of pocket. I don't care if my boss approves this or not. Like this is going to make my day so much better. Maybe $500 is not the right barrier. Maybe it's just like $100 or something, but you're like, hey, let me get some commitment that is the tipping point over to where I just see the visual. I mean, how many times have you seen just a visual of some things and some like, and you're just like, yes, this is it. This will solve my problem. Or at least I have a high enough confidence or conviction that I'm willing to put some like money on the line. So I wouldn't go as far as building, but like the prototyping and the like how close you can get to the feel like this is going to do it. Now, of course, it's like, yeah, this would pull this would pull that. Like, they don't need to actually have it. You don't need to actually do that for them to like understand the value.
Right. And it already does have like user, like reasonable looking data in the prototype to kind of understand what it can do and that sort of thing. I think really I just need to tweak my my funnel 1.0 to steer the conversation in that direction, as opposed to right now, it's very much just a, you know, what kind of problems do you see? More of a customer research kind of thing. And so maybe it's more like that, like you're saying, like, just you kind of started off as, you know, what do you think about this after a bit of a warm up? You know, what do you think about this? And, you know, is it good enough that you would be willing to commit to it or something like that?
Right.
I like that idea.
There's probably better ways to present that question than we're just speculating on now. There might be some other, you know, maybe Michelle or some other people could be, I'm sure there's stuff out there. Like, how do you sort of like basically ask for money for a prototype? I bet you like you could probably ChatGPT this at some point, or, you know, people in different Slack groups might have some insight in doing this. But I do think that's a good line to hold, because there's plenty of products I've run across where I've just seen like a demo and being like, yeah, I'm willing to at least put my credit card up front and try for a month. Like, cool. Right. Or especially some of these early people, even if it's like, okay, I'll make a commitment. I'll be a part of your design committee and I'll pay, you know, a few $100 and just like, you know I'm going to be able to give feedback. Know I'm going to be able to use it at least in its bare essence that I think is going to, you know, solve a problem that I have, solve a need and fulfill that promise, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess like, I think on my end, I think I don't know how to ask for money very well on those, like on a new kind of person, like someone that I don't have a lot of rapport with. And I think maybe that's some of that fear is kind of maybe what's driven me to this other direction. I bet if I ask around that I could probably find some good kind of ways to do it.
Yeah. And you might have to be okay with like, I might burn that contact and they're just like, whatever. Like, you have to probably weigh the temperature of some of these. Is this more valuable as just someone to continue to ask feedback for? But at a certain point with any of these, like, it's a natural question. I feel like if someone's giving you feedback and all of a sudden they're just like, so when are you going to have it? Right. And those are good questions. Like, if someone's just like, what's next? Like, basically, I've been giving feedback on this. Is this thing going anywhere? Like, you know, you've been talking to me at the store every day. Are you going to ask me out? Like, what's going on? Like, right. Like, you come in every day and, you know, peruse the vegetable aisle.
It's hard though, because a lot of these people are in customer service and a lot of them are very friendly and just want to help. But there has been, I distinctly remember one call I got on with a guy very early on, and I showed him the prototype and I explained some things to him, and he was just like, okay, so like, can I buy this? Like I can't sign the check, but like, you know, I want to talk to my boss and buy this. And it's like, oh, like that's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. And that's, you want more of those. So like, even just grinding out more of your people out of your V1 funnel. And maybe again, you could start with this iteration of like, hey, I think I have something. Let me try to grind 5 more people through and alter the thing towards like, hey, it's, you know, I'm building this thing. I've gotten a lot of feedback. Like, basically, I'd love to show you and see if you're interested in being part of early access or something like that. Maybe it just changes like slightly like that, right? And then they see it and they're whatever, and they're like, oh, this is cool. And then they're like, well, how do I get part of early access? And you're like, well, you know, I want to make sure people are serious, and it's, you know, I'm asking for like a commitment. A $500 commitment, but you'll be part of early access. You'll get early pricing on all this stuff, like, you know, and whatnot or something, you know. And you know, you have to weigh that with like, you know, when can I deliver and some other things, but you have to figure out that messaging. But if you even think about, hey, if you have this repeatable one and you can grind out more people, maybe you don't want to burn some of the friends you've already made, but like, you can burn a few. and or anyone new coming in, you're sort of trying this new, you know, this pivot of V1 into more of like a asking for, you know, be part of the pilot type of thing.
Yeah. And I think that there's a big enough pool that I think like I can pull from to be able to find new people to put into this funnel. I think it's really just the manual aspect that's kind of getting to me. And I think there's probably probably if I look around a little more carefully, I can find some tools to help me with some of the more laborious parts. Like, just a lot of it is just manually going through lists and manually clicking the same button over and over again. And so I'm sure there's some automation for that.
I don't know. Maybe get a VA.
Get a VA. That would work too. Yeah.
I mean, at some of these ones, like there's like, if you think about your time and whatever, and if this is something that can work and you can teach a VA to do, and it's like, if I think of it from a your time perspective, it's like, okay, well, maybe that's worth it for you, right? At this mm-hmm. point in time, you have to decide, is it, you know, what is more valuable, the time or the money at this point? And if you're kind of like, well, you know what, I think I could, this might be worth at least, because V1 may last you a lot longer. You know, you still probably have to perfect some of it and maybe do a couple more rounds of it, but mm-hmm. and look to where you can optimize it, maybe scale it as much as you can to a point where you could like hand it off to a VA. Or are there some, like, you know, tools out there or some different things you can build? I think what some other people were talking about doing some other like LinkedIn automation outreach and some other things like that. It's like, how much of this stuff could you, you know, have, you know, code in Replit to just like help you with just like some bare, you know, putting this stuff together. So
yeah. And what was interesting is I kind of went down the second marketing 2.0 as part of, you know, a way to automate it, because LinkedIn has the messaging ads where you can mm-hmm. basically start a conversation. And I thought, well, you know, that could skip the friend request whole stage of things and the, you know, a couple of those things. But the sponsored part of that and the constraints that they put on you really, really ruins the effect.
Like the one-on-one. It's a totally different thing. It's like this is a sale. And also you're right. The constraints, the cost, the authenticity of it all, it just mm-hmm. is like a totally different thing.
The cost is not bad though. Like to the amount of time it would take me to connect and message and warm mm-hmm. up all of these people is like significant amount of time. And you can send a message ad for, I think it's, you know, cents. I don't think it's even a dollar, but yeah. Well, I think I've got, this is really helpful. I always find my mind gets all jumbled when I get into the marketing side of things. It's just like, I feel like maybe I'm still just running from fears maybe, or something like that, as opposed to seeing the whole picture. I don't know. It's, I find it hard.
No, it's always, this stuff is always hard. It's hard to like, split. It's much easier for me to see from the sidelines, right? Like when you're mm-hmm. when your head is not in the game itself, or you're not on the field, you can't see when you're on the field, you can't see the same perspective as like overhead, right? Like I'm just an overhead looker and being like, why is he running over there? It's just like, well, I don't know. Maybe there's a bee around you. Maybe there's just something, or you're just like have a instinct, right, for something, which they might be good instincts. They might not be. You might not see, you know, what else is going on in the field, right? So I think, you know, for us, it's like I step back and try to look at the simplicity of the plan and the things you've already done, and being like, well, ultimately, what's the shortest path to the goal? And also, what is the one that has the least amount of other dependencies, or the ones that if you don't solve this, the rest doesn't matter. Let's make sure we're getting all the way through, right, type of thing. So, it's, I think we all get this. I get this on my own stuff too, right? And it's sometimes it takes a weekend of reflection or hearing on a podcast for being like, mm-hmm. well, yeah, duh. Like, why am I over here? Right? I should be over there, right? So,
yeah. One thing I've found a bit helpful for myself is just to like write out all of my thoughts into a document. So basically like, how did I get here? Why am I doing this or that? You know, and trying to kind of gain some perspective that way. Because sometimes I'll write down stuff that I'm doing, like, wow, that's not really that great of an idea. Or like you throw it in ChatGPT and be like, hey, what do you think of this? And it'll give you like some answers.
Yeah, I mean, I find it helpful. I have some things that I like look at every week. So it might just be like dedicating a day to sort of like perspective day of a week, or maybe it's of a month, depending on your cycles. And just kind of like, you know, it's the grand plan of like, okay, can I reach people? Check, mm-hmm. right? Can I deliver value? Can I get money for it? right? It's like, and if you go back and you just look at that, so it's like you might wander, you might do things, you might stay the path, but then like if you're looking at this on a weekly basis, it's like on your whiteboard or a sticky note or just being like a reminder that pops up every Monday, you know, whether you'll look at it or ignore it or not. But if it pops up, you're just like, yep, still working on that. Cool. Or like, nah, but I want to deviate. And then it comes up again the next Monday. Okay, maybe, maybe I should listen to this, right? So like taking yourself out of the driver's seat and sort of like putting yourself in the navigator seat and just being like, are we going in the right direction? And just separating yourself from that and having a day of that and be like, hey, today I'm not doing any work and I'm just like looking at the plan. Do I need to reassess the plan? Because maybe the plan is wrong. I've learned something that has changed the plan. Or actually, you know what? I've done all the things. Why am I still twiddling with this mock-up? Like I've gotten, and what are my goals? I want, you know, 20% of the people I talk to just to basically be like, yeah, when can I sign up? Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so does that mean where am I doing the work to iterate? Am I continuing to iterate on the prototype and the mocks, like to basically show what it's going to do? Or am I just ready to build like V1 of this thing and collect some money?
Yeah. I really like your three items there to review. The can I reach people? Can I deliver value and will they pay me for it? Or yeah, like I think those are, that really hits the hammer on the head. That's cool.
Yeah. Put it on a sticky note, put it on a t-shirt. We'll just like paste it on your forehead, get a tattoo.
I'm logging into Printful now. I got some t-shirts. Cool. Is there anything else you want to chat about today?
No, I don't think I really had much. Trying to think what else I've been up to. I mean, most of the big things I've been doing is sort of that same type of exercise, but for me, like again, just trying to simplify the things that we're trying to accomplish. And a lot of these decisions are hard to make, right? Like some of them are like one of the ones I've been doing lately, and I think I've mentioned it before, is really just almost ignoring the whole marketing side because I want to focus on like rebuilding some of like the way we're approaching product. Not that it's bad, but can I improve it so much that, and the processes and how we're writing specs and how we're making decisions, how can I improve that so much that it doesn't feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like a chicken without a head, like, oh, I need to get this. And you've got people depending. I've got, if I don't put this card over there, they're not going to work on it, then they're not going to have anything to work on and that type of thing. And getting out of that reactionary feeling and planning further and further ahead. So I know when it's like, okay, it's dedicated product planning week, I'm doing this, and the rest of the stuff then just only takes 10% of my time the rest of, you know, the other 3 weeks of the month. And so I'm getting there to that so that it doesn't feel like I'm trapping myself. And then, which means I've freed enough time to, you know, focus a large majority of my time on the marketing side and building that up in a similar way. Because if I was in the past, I'm trying to do all of the things and then you're just into more reactionary mode versus being proactive. And that's how I've been mentally separating it a lot. Like the stuff we're talking about now, which is like the planning and reviewing, if you're in doing the, you know, can I get people to talk to you? Can I deliver value? Can I get the money? That's the planning and the proactivity, like thinking about that. And then, you know, when you're in the modes of building, it's sort of being a little more reactive to the tasks and whatnot. So,
yeah. Well, that sounds really important to make sure your team is like functioning well and you're not having to be interrupted all the time. I think almost every company that I've been a part of so far has struggled with that problem of planning far ahead or planning too far ahead and, you know, how to manage that well. So I don't think that's a new problem.
No, it isn't. And I've sort of taken a little bit more of like, I'm really going to solve this so it gets it down to where I'm, you know, I'm involved in the parts that I'm high leverage and very critical on, and, you know, letting other parts go. So a lot of them are just like, you know, certain decisions to make on who owns what. And, but yeah, if I can whittle that down to being, you know, overall 20% of my time, on a consistent, repeatable basis, like could be could be quite amazing. So that's what I'm working towards, and I think I'm getting pretty close.
Cool. Well, I'll have to hear back in a couple of weeks and see how that's going.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, it's good to catch up. What other plans do you have for the summer?
Yeah, I think I'm mostly just at home this summer for the rest, just doing things around the house and doing the odd beach day here and there, that sort of thing. Yeah, looking forward to it. It's nice and warm over here for Canada, at least. Nice and warm. So, yeah, enjoy your weekend at the amusement park.
Yep. Yeah, I'll have some other outages too coming up. Second half of August, I'll be away. So I think okay. I already canceled the yep. At least one of them. I'll have to go look at the rest of the calendar, but we should probably be able to have one more call before that. And then school should be starting up again and we're back in the cycle.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for chatting today, Josh.
No problem, Nate. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Boscher and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups. Or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.